This is a stand-up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things every week to make you say the thing in the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
Hey, what's going on, folks?
Hey, hi.
Hello.
Hi. We all forgot how to do this at once. Oh, no.
I thought it was more like we're all very nervous to meet each other.
Oh, hi.
I had too much coffee today. I'm having one of those classic office moments where I'm just really stressed out.
Yeah. Patty just walked up to our lockers in high school. What's up? You guys want to do a podcast?
Sure.
Okay. Gulp. You just got back from Florida, right, Patty?
Yeah, we're going to redo the whole, we said before, we're going to redo the entire Florida bit.
Yeah.
Which is just a nice conversation for like 3 minutes.
That makes
as
Eli
just
annoyed.
Gets mad.
3 minutes is low.
It's like, I like spending time with my family. It's like, can we move on, please?
How's Willie?
He's good. He was apparently looking for us, my sister and I, last night.
Oh, Willie.
We flew back yesterday. So he was like, he does this good thing where like my parents have double doors for their bedroom, so and he usually just follows my mom wherever she goes, but if she goes in there and shuts the door, like if she's getting ready to go out or something or whatever, or if like my dad goes in there for whatever reason and shuts the door, he doesn't like stop. He just starts ramming the door with his head.
Oh, Willie's so dumb.
Giving himself brain damage.
Well, not like aggressively, but
he has
dog
CTE.
But he just like so it's like this rattling noise.
What's happening?
Just nice. This is the Willie theme, I guess. Yeah. Willie's theme. This sounds like the song from the first town in an RPG.
I mean, this would. Yeah.
I hear there's monsters.
Your mom just woke you up.
Yeah.
Quick. The big fair's today. Yeah. I hope nothing happens.
They're going to choose the new hero.
This is like, imagine now, see, to for your guys' interest, like I would love like a WWE entrance with just this music and then Willie just like trotting out and down the ramp.
Yeah.
Have you seen,
he gets body slammed.
There's a really good picture of a dog. It's some like parade. I think it's in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a little dog walking down the middle of the street and it looks like they're all there for him.
I can't even tell if it's real or not. Or
it's
what.
So
I think
good.
It's been reused a couple times too. It's like they're having a parade for the Pope, but this dog thinks it's for him. I think I've seen it at least once and the dog just like, hey.
He looks so happy.
It's pretty good.
This is some,
let's
this
face
is,
it, the parade should be for the dog.
You really know. This is some extreme First Village.
Freaking,
right? Like, you picked up wooden sword and shield.
Right. Like, for some reason, like, I feel like I'm in Chrono Trigger right now. That's what this is.
Dude, I still have never played Chrono Trigger.
With the birds flying over as you zoom in on the town.
Yeah, and then it's like, bloo, bloo,
bloo. Which is some real pyrotechnics for Super Nintendo. That was like, whoa, they have birds. Like, that's pretty wild.
Yeah,
But no, Florida was good. Got to do nothing for a few days, which is always welcome. I had a lot of big ass seafood buffet on Friday night.
Hell yeah!
Classic Easter move.
And it was Easter. That's why you were there.
And then
I guess that it's just because I'm Jewish that I'm like the idea of having a seafood buffet at a holiday is deeply like against everything that religion stands for.
You didn't eat any Passover lobster?
Yeah, my Passover shrimp. If you want to know, all right, so my bar mitzvah portion, we'll see how the music holds up throughout all this. My bar mitzvah portion that I had to read was about like the real rules of kosher eating.
Mm-hmm.
And the like shellfish are, you can't eat shellfish, but for multiple reasons. One of them is that you're not supposed to eat bottom feeders. You're not also catfish is not kosher. But the other thing is that it's more about, well, look, we're the chosen people. That's always been the dickiest way to describe like an own religion. Like we're the chosen people. Like I get why, you know,
every religion thinks they're the chosen people.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, but like in Judaism, it's like very, it like, I feel like other religions think they're the chosen people cause they think they're right. Yeah. Jews literally made a deal with God, and that's why they're chosen.
It's just like the
we
one
have the
big
receipts.
Reality show.
We have the receipts.
One big reality show that like, it's like Christians looked over and saw on Jews' phone, there's like God text them. They're like, wait, who? God's texting you? Like they all got mad. But anyways, it's that. And also like for some reason, a big kosher thing is the number of legs that stuff has. Like you're not allowed to eat anything.
Can't eat any centipedes.
Literally, no. Like
the closer you are to bug,
yeah. You can't eat crabs. Locusts. Yeah. You can't eat spiders. Like if you wanted to eat a spider,
oh man, you can't eat locusts.
Yeah, fear so factor bummed. Is deeply you not know, kosher.
Everybody always talks about how you can't have bacon and how sad it is or whatever. But locusts. Like, what about the locusts?
You're missing that on those locusts.
Just waiting for that curse, and just standing outside with your mouth open, like you're trying to catch snow.
I'm sitting just in my farmhouse, and I hear just like the buzzing of a million locust swarm, and I just rub my belly. I'm
tuck a napkin dinner in your time.
Do the napkin and the knife and fork. Again, the classic signifier.
Yeah. Can't eat any of that shit, man. I don't keep kosher, but...
Did you do Seder? Do you do that?
No, I don't anymore. Or, like, not have leavened bread. I don't do really any of that. I do occasionally fast for Yom Kippur, but that's just because I kind of like the idea of it. I just like the idea of being like, Day of Atonement, like, you know, fast for a day. Just think about all the shit you did wrong or whatever. Which, that, even my parents don't do that, so I pick that up, but I don't do anything.
So
any
you
other
do,
stuff.
Like, the ones that make you, like... You do like the self-hatred Jewish holidays.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge part of me and my personality. So, no, but we had like a lot of the like Jewish traditions and stuff. Like, we're super reform, but.
Right, you played video games during.
Yeah, well, they were mad at me about that. Oh, I think I told this before, but like basically we were more serious and more involved. And then like one of the rabbis at our synagogue gave a sermon at High Holy Day services about how mixed marriages were.
Oh, right.
Like mixed like Christian Jew marriages were like diluting our religion. And my mom is Christian, my dad is Jewish. And they're like, we're not going to keep going to synagogue that much. And I was like, yeah, my Game Boy. I was like, yeah, finally. But
hey, no offense to you guys though. Anyway, I'm going to keep like, going to have to take offense here.
Yeah. I'm going to keep going. You guys cannot be one of those weird kids who gets like more into religion than their parents somehow.
Yeah.
That's a weird, like, I'm always surprised by that. I know it's a thing, but like, it seems like it rarely goes that way.
I don't know. Maybe it's just like that kid that's like reads the Lord of the Rings and he's like, this rules, but it's the Bible or whatever. And they're like, hell yeah.
I have respect for kids who are raised by like weird artist people and just become super normie.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's kind of rad.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Like, yeah, I think there's like a cycle, right? Isn't it like that, like, people, isn't there a thing that's like the third generation loses wealth because the first generation like works for the wealth and achieves it. The second generation like continues it. And then the third generation is the one that like gets mad and like wants to do anything but
and like
run a
spends
business.
It all on improv classes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's like
so many improv classes.
There's like a 30 Rock joke about that. Where,
opens
yeah,
a food
like,
truck.
Yeah, exactly. Your great grandparents were farmers, so your grandparents could like work in factories. Yeah. So your parents could be professional, so that you could pursue your dream of comedy. Yeah. That's why we all are here.
of the when I like first got to New York, I took improv classes at of all places UCB. Who would have thought? And I still love like my favorite moment was I took like an intensive class or something, and Anthony Tamanik was the teacher, and he's like he just goes off on like total like tangents and stuff. And one day I remember in class, I like really liked him as a teacher because he's like would be pretty straightforward. But honestly, it seems like so many of the kids that take those classes, like that's what they serve. That's literally what they do, is they just want to go there and have someone be like, you're doing great. And they're like, this is my hobby and I'm good at something that's not work.
And I'm being like love bombed by this weird improv cult and I feel real special.
It feels like, I mean, look, all of this is a group delusion on some level.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I cast no judgments because like I'm in the same.
But improv feels like more of a group delusion.
Did you read the IOS?
We're in like a little pod.
Well, that's this is the thing that he did was like in the middle of class. I don't remember what prompted it. He like stopped the class and he's like, okay, look. He's like, you guys need to call. He's like, I don't know what you think the end goal here is, but I'm it. He's like, if you do this forever, you can teach improv. So if you're like, he's like, you need to get out of your head and thinking that this is going to make you famous and just try to like do it well. Like it was like everybody else in the class clearly was like, what?
Wow.
And
I
was like,
good for him. Yeah. I respect that.
Yeah,
good,
but that
good,
is
good thing he's telling everybody else that.
That's
a secret coded message to me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Definitely what I would have thought if I were in that class.
All I need is one manager to come to one of my two shows a month and a boo, straight to the top.
Just like standing there looking like sidelong glances at everyone nodding like, get it through your heads, nerds. You're not going to do this.
Did you see that shitty tweet by
Which one? Most of them?
Yeah, I don't want to name who it was, but it was a comic, and it was like this tweet that was about like, it was like, guess what? It's also like 3 years too late. And he's like, guess what? I just declared that I'm transsexual. Can't wait for all these jobs to come rolling in. Like, I've already got 2 sitcoms greenlit.
Oh,
it was
super
duper shitty. And B, I was also just like, what rampantly successful trans community are you talking about? Patty Harrison did like something on Tonight Show, but it's like, you think the
all
writers'
those
room?
Super successful trans
it's
comedy
just a, it's
writers.
It's just complaining about affirmative action. It's not even a funny take. It's just like,
yeah.
Did you guys read the Io West article? It was about how they closed Io West and about how like the woman who runs it is a fucking crazy person. It's a good
in comedy.
Yeah, what? A person who runs an improv theater is like a crazy narcissist. Shocker. Yeah.
Well, hang on.
It's real good. Anyway, let's get on this list.
Yeah, okay.
Let's do it.
Instead of just talking about comedy and crazy stuff.
Well, anyway,
that's
comedy.
For the bonus app.
Yeah, like, folks, comedy is, it's something.
Number 5.
Okay, so number 5 comes to us from Sydney, Australia. And I'm excited. Look, I don't do voices, but I saw this and I was like, I bet Eli and Patty are going to have some things to say in some silly accents about this guy in Sydney, Australia. But yeah, he went to McDonald's. First of all, his name is Santo LaRocca, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Great name.
Yep.
Saint Lorick.
Saint Lorick. Is that what it means?
I don't think so.
maybe?
Santo LaRocca. He went to McDonald's. He got some stuff with his daughter, some chicken nuggets, some frozen Cokes, which... I don't know what they're doing down in Sydney, Australia, but I would like a frozen Coke at our McDonald's, please.
They have some of those at movie theaters. They're good as fuck.
They're so good.
Yeah.
That is like one thing I learned from this.
Burger King has those here. They fucking jumped on it.
Oh,
Burger
yeah?
King has frozen Coke.
There's a Burger
McDonald's
King near my apartment.
Doesn't.
I should
Hail
go.
To the King.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm a monarchist now because of frozen Cokes. So he got some food. He took food home to eat it, which, by the way, I think that's like kind of weird. If you get drive-through food, like if you're driving, if you're like back home or whatever, do you wait to get home to eat it or do you eat it in the car?
It's like a weird question because I'll do that with Chipotle or something, but...
What? Eat it in the car or bring it home?
No, like
Chipotle in the car? It's like, yeah. No way this could go bad.
But it's also like if I eat it at home, I know my dad's going to like come over and be like, what you eating? Oh, Chipotle. And then just like go off on something. So, but
you feel like judged for eating Chipotle?
But I don't think I've really eaten in a car outside of a road trip like ever.
Yeah, I'll just eat drive through in a car.
You park?
No, just drive and eat.
In the basement of a parking structure.
you're like eating a burger while you're driving.
Unsafe.
Better turn on the light
against the
in
rules
in the cabin of my station wagon so I don't. Miss the barbecue sauce.
Well, at that point, you just go in, right? I mean, if you're going to park in the parking lot, you might as well just go
in
the place.
Parking is sad to me. Yeah. Like, sitting in parking is really sad.
Just the quietest parking level of
a
building. Just, yeah, like, you hear a car like...
Just silent, except you're sad chewing
and then
a
just
burger.
Hear someone be like, chicken as fries. Well, I'll give it a shot. I would say that
I normally bring it home. Is my
really?
Answer.
Okay. I guess I'm in the minority. Because
usually
here.
I could be on the way home. Like that's why I would go.
Right. Yeah. It's.
I don't
it's
like go a... out to get drive through and then go back.
Yeah.
I don't
right.
Think.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's usually like a decision that's made as sort of like part of the. Plan.
But it's like your last stop. Like sometimes I'll get it like on the way to, from one errand to another and eat it in the car.
I guess it's just
I think
like
I'd probably
also
organize
in,
it to go last.
Yeah, I've only ever I haven't had owned a car ever, and I've only lived in like DC and New York where it's like eating
you
in your
walk.
Car would be me parking like on a
parallel parking.
Like, yeah, I would have to parallel park to eat my food.
I'm just imagining your impression of someone eating in a parking garage. I'm just thinking about that as like an ASMR YouTube video.
Oh yeah,
of like that's man ridiculous. Eats fast food in quiet parking garage.
When you're in a car and it's quiet, it's fucking quiet.
It's so quiet.
It's like when the window's up, like the you get like a ringing in your ears
you
from how quiet
like
it is.
You can put on music while you eat.
Yeah.
You don't have
just
to
put
eat.
On Gary Jules'
no
Mad
dice.
World.
Million faces. Blazing buffalo.
Well, anyway, this guy brought it home like you guys instead of like me, like a fucking animal barbarian.
Well, we're going to find out that if he had opened it up on the way home.
He wouldn't have had this problem. Yeah. So he brought the food home. and he got the wrong food. Lo and behold, McDonald's fucked up his order, believe it or not. So
you don't check. I always try to check.
Yeah, I'm, just give I'm it
not
a
like
glance. A,
I'm not like a stickler. You I'm not like reading the receipt, people. Being like, did I get it? But like, this doesn't look right. If it's like as wrong as this guy's order was wrong, like yeah. you would think that like, you know.
Yeah,
you'd notice.
It was because it was like all different.
Nobody's going for the fries. Nobody's going for the fries on the way home. Nobody's
ever,
going in
right?
there.
You ever see a dad notice an error on a receipt at a restaurant?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like they won the fucking lottery. They're like, ho, excuse me, I had one water. Like, it's crazy.
It is. Yeah, so it's like they've like solved an unsolvable math equation.
I feel like that. I feel like that's one of those traits too that like. It's like a magnetic poles where like it reverses on the kids. We're like, I don't even look. I don't want to deal with it.
Oh yeah.
Because I've dealt with enough like minor, like very not big deal confrontations where it's I don't want to have any more of those for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Unless it's like $1,000 and it's like, well, I didn't order that bottle of expensive champagne.
Right.
We'll just deal with it.
I'm like that about like my goal in life when I am in public is to speak to bother service people as little as possible.
Yeah.
I do not want to ask for help. I do not want, like, I just don't, I ignore me. I'm invisible. I don't need you.
Yeah.
Like, we will interact minimally. And I've realized that, like, that is not how many people live.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be out with someone, they're like, oh, well, we can just ask. I'm like, my instinct is always like, no, don't say anything.
We could do a lot of things.
Well, it's like this weird, it's the weird consumer thing where it's like, you are my servant because I paid for service. And it's like, you can just be nice to people. I'm like, make mistakes and it's fine.
Yeah. And even just like, not even if people make mistakes, it's like, they're there to answer your questions and help you. It's not weird to like ask them.
And if
I'm so like weird about it.
Restaurants are particularly fraught because you're like trapped in the situation, depending on when the sort of, if there's like a problem comes up, like you can't.
And like
you don't just like
it's
get
harder
up and leave.
And it's harder to like go up to them because like it's a restaurant, they're supposed to come around to
like,
you.
We had enough but, like problems with like places that we went. We're like we've settled into places that we go that we never have problems, you know? But like there was enough like tense situations where it's like my sister and I are both like we're just don't have problems with anything. Like
it's fine.
It require a lot.
If you bring me the wrong food, I will eat it.
Yeah.
Like unless it's like a food that I really don't eat.
I will like ask for it, but I'm not gonna be a dick about it. Like if I get the wrong food, I'll just be like, hey, I got the wrong food. Like, but it's not like that seems like with finding something on
the
receipt. It's like if you just all you have to say is like, hey, I think there's an error on here, and you don't have to be a dick about it. There's no restaurant that's gonna be like, well, tough shit. Like fix it.
And
you
like,
don't need to be dick.
Like, do you have a hearing problem?
I've waited tables and like it's never like if anybody says that to me, it's not like I'm like crying in the back. It's like, oh, sorry about that. And you fix it. It's like not a problem.
No, you're spitting in the back into the food.
not to
you, man.
Keep telling stories related to my dad, but since we're talking restaurants, like that's like you said, I will never because like he said stuff like he once we were in a restaurant and we got like I think it was like steak free. I don't remember what we got, but he tasted his fries. He's like, these fries aren't hot. And then he reached over and he called the waiter. And then he reached over and tasted one of my fries. He's like, your fries aren't hot either. And then sent both of our food back.
Controlling.
And I was like, I was just like, I'm like a kid who just had my food taken away from him. I'm like, cool.
Yeah, but cold fries.
All right.
Cold fries are no good. Hey, what happened to this guy?
We're like, we've been talking for like eight minutes.
And this was at McDonald's. Anyways.
got a lot of food opinions here.
Me too. So this guy, he took the food home. It was wrong. His daughter was sad, and he was basically like, suck it up. This is the food we got. We're going to eat it because it's McDonald's, and I'm not going to go back to McDonald's. It all tastes exactly the same. We're just going to eat it. So cut to a few hours later, after they've eaten the food, the cops show up at their house and question them for stolen McDonald's.
Which seems like a worthwhile use of, I mean, what else are they doing down there, I guess, right?
Certainly, you know, they said it was about $17 worth of food. That seems worth the cost of sending police to someone's house.
Yeah.
What else? Be like somebody's playing their didgeridoo too loud, too late or something. What goes on down there? I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably that. That's probably it.
Well, I just
that
like,
guy,
also,
the frat guy that threw that party. That's all I know about Australian culture. Do you remember that guy?
Oh yeah, with the hat.
With the hat and like the neon sunglasses.
Yeah.
And he threw a party, and for some reason, the party made national news in Australia.
Yeah. The other great thing about Australian people is the way they say the word no.
No, it's like no.
Like that. And I was playing video games with my friend's husband who's Australian. And like, it was so good because every time you get killed, he's like, oh no. And I had to be like quiet because I was going to be like, hell yeah, brother. That's the funniest shit. It's so fun. But
no.
Yeah, like, what do you, they're like, you stole McDonald's. And you're like, well, they didn't give me my food. So I guess they stole from me. Like, what do? You like cancel out the difference. And it's like, well, net balance is you owed McDonald's 69 cents or whatever. It's like, what?
Nice.
Also, nice. Just like, who, what person working at McDonald's? I feel like the people that work at McDonald's aren't the people that are like, let's call 911.
Yeah. who involved called the cops? So apparently they went back, intrepid journalists in Australia who reported the story, talked to the people at McDonald's, and they said they did call the cops on him. I like the idea, though, that it was somebody who's just like, excuse me, this food is wrong. I'm calling 911. Yeah. Police must be involved.
Those stories are on their way.
Those stories happen in the U.S. every once in a while. It's like they're out of chicken wings. I'm calling the police.
Yeah.
It's sad because like I feel like threatening to call the police is like a funny bit. Like I think it's like funny to do, but it's like really not considering how horrible the police are. And like maybe this is like back into I don't want to bother service people. Like I am not calling the police on anyone.
Yeah.
Like ever for any reason really. But like it's just so fun to threaten.
It's like calling the police is like pulling out a knife in a fight. It's like it's like this will de-escalate the situation.
Right. It's
like
it's gasoline on a fire. This is 100%
gonna get worse. I just don't like. I do love the people. Yeah, those people are always. It seems like it's the same people who have like those weird views on like entrapment and like weird laws where they're like, I've paid for service and now that I'm in this establishment, I am considered a resident of this building. And as such, any refusal to give me food is abuse and I'm calling Child Protective Services.
Right.
Like,
well, yeah.
What?
These are just,
how did you get here?
You're just talking about sovereign citizens. That's just who that is. Am I being detained? It's like, you're the one who won't leave here.
Yeah.
Please leave this Chili's.
We've been begging you to leave.
That Mr. Show sketch is so great from the new Mr. Show.
Yeah.
It's like David Crossy, the guy, he's like, I'm only rolling my window down 2 inches. And the cop's like, that's okay. And he's like, oh, you sure? And then like eventually he's just committing crimes. It's very good.
Well, yeah, McDonald's called the cops on this guy. Apparently they said it was because he was filming them. Like he was like Snapchatting at McDonald's.
And that's also police worthy?
Which is, also police worthy. B, he's like, they didn't ask me about that at all. They just wanted to know what happened to the food.
Yeah. It's well, like, the cops. I'm more interested in that anyway. Yeah. What's up with the food? They said something about
the food.
Do
you have any nuggets left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a YouTube journalist. I was doing journalism.
Citizen
First
journalist.
Amendment. It's like, we're in Australia, and why don't you have an Australian accent? It's like, the guy who's doing the impression is too lazy to do an accent. That's why I don't have one.
Yeah, the McDonald's employees got mad that he was filming their Barbie.
Their secret shrimp recipe.
Yeah. Everything at the Australian McDonald's ends with on the Barbie. McNuggets on the Barbie.
That's actually all Australian menus. It has to say on the Barbie at every food item.
You know, my favorite Australian restaurant is Dallas Barbie or the Outback. That one doesn't make any sense. I forgot that Outback is also Australian.
Barbie House.
Well, there it's just called the Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. My friend in high school...
They just call it the Barbie.
My friend in high school worked for Outback Steakhouse, and he used to always call it Steak World. It always made me laugh. He's like, gotta go do a shift at Steak World.
I like how everyone's calling it Outback Steakhouse. Just making sure we get the whole
Outback Steakhouse. Dude, if they sponsor us...
Outback Steakhouse.
Outback's good, man.
Outback is really good.
As far as like shitty chain restaurants go, I think it blows Olive Garden out of the water. It blows Chili's out of the water. It's way better.
Just give me the damn onion, man. That's all I'm saying.
The blooming
onion.
Give me
the damn onion.
Yeah, isn't a blooming onion too, like, that's one of those things that once they started having to put, like, the FDA made it, people have to put
it's
nutrition
like 4,000 calories.
Yeah, it's like, blooming onion is like, this is what a whale eats. enough to, you can hibernate immediately after eating one of these.
You have a wasting disease. Yeah. You should eat this.
You have pica?
We actually give it to people in the hospital for malnutrition.
Just imagine like a bear like eating half of it and then just shoving the plate away like.
Didn't Chili's or somebody did like a, they have like a ripoff of the Blue Onion? Yeah. Like an awesome blossom.
Awesome blossom. Yeah.
Fuck that. Can you imagine? It's like, you motherfuckers. Are you kidding me? This is our whole deal. You guys got the whole fajitas thing. Let us have the fucking onion. Like, are you, come on.
Yeah.
I want the onion, but I don't want any of the like the steak or Aussie stuff. It's like, okay, let's come to Chili's. We got the onion. We got the onion, man.
I thought you were going to say like, I want the onion, but I just, I don't want it like breaded. I just want...
Oh, just give me the onion?
give me the onion.
Give me a raw onion.
But cut like that. Like, I want it cut like that, but I just raw.
Yeah. I like the fajita effect at Chili's. You guys know that thing, right? That's like a common internet thing. It's like at Chili's, every time someone orders fajitas, they immediately start making more fajitas. Because when someone brings out the sizzly plate, everyone's like, ooh! And starts ordering fajitas like a motherfucker.
Did you guys get fajitas?
I wonder if they like AstroTurf fajitas sometimes.
What is like that?
They just parade it through the place.
They just make a plate just because they know other people
they make
order.
A false fajitas operation.
Yeah. And they just walk through the perimeter of the restaurant and then go right back into the kitchen.
Well, you can tell because it's definitely going to be chicken. Yeah. They're not going to waste steak on that.
No. That's true, yeah.
No, they just hold it up so high that you can't see the plate and there's just a tape recorder playing fajita sounds and a little like dry ice on it.
They just pipe it in. They have little speakers everywhere. At every table, they have like a little thing hidden in like the plant.
Can you imagine if you walked into Chili's and just the entire time you were there, it was the sound of sizzling fajitas through the PA?
So loud. So loud. You can't have a conversation. It's okay, so loud.
I think something's wrong with the... Yeah, I don't know. There's something like static coming in through that. No, those are just our world famous fajitas. Like, I don't think that's true. It's like in the corner of the ceiling. I don't think that's just... Like, well, the acoustics in here are very... It's like, okay, this is, you guys are doing a lot of work for this.
Oh, man.
It doesn't look that good on this YouTube video, I gotta tell you. But here we go.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm hungry now. Hungry. It works.
It sucks, it works. We're all hungry.
Oh.
Made my life complete.
All right, that's depressing.
Sad old man.
Yeah.
Can we get that as a hit for next episode?
You made my life complete.
This is all I have.
Yeah. Unhook me.
Ever since. Ever since Doris died. It's like just an old guy who loves fajitas. It's like, I wouldn't have picked that. I would have picked like a meat and potatoes type thing.
It's passion.
Yeah.
You know what? Also, fajitas would be such a funny last meal on death row.
They bring the sizzling plate down death row past all the other cells.
They're always getting really mad.
And then they're like, man, I can't wait to get executed so I can order fajitas.
Yeah, they
got to
start prepping more fajitas for the next guy to get executed.
That's actually a trick. They send the fajitas down and the rest of the guys all just waive their appeals on death row. to get it's like, well, I can have those in like a few weeks. Yeah, I mean, fuck it, man, I don't care. I did it. I'm ready for this.
You know, this is full circle because remember on like our very first episode, the man who stole all the fajitas from the prison.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well,
they apparently serve them.
Fajita chat
concluded.
Yeah,
I believe that was a juvenile prison, which I hope they don't have a death row at. It seems like. I know it is Texas.
Wait,
but...
juveniles in prison? Just kidding, guys.
It's like, yeah, it's death row. It's like, how old are these kids? I think this one's 13. It's like, this doesn't seem...
I don't care how many fajitas you give them. Yeah. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
No, the kids are dying, but their adults are being born. That's what
that's
it is.
That's true.
It's just they're being made men in the prison. That's what they meant.
Well,
that's way too weird of a joke.
Well, look, that guy got the wrong McDonald's and the cops came. But fortunately, because it was not the United States, he wasn't gunned down in his home.
True.
They just threw a boomerang and it broke a window.
Yep.
That's it. So,
that classic cop weapon.
Yeah, no.
Well, they're down there, right?
Yeah. No, they don't have like a nightstick or gun. They just have a boomerang.
They send over the police kangaroo and you have to put the fine in his pouch and then he hops back and brings
him
back.
Little kangaroo, the little police hat.
Yeah, but they have it's gross in there, though.
Yeah, that's how Postmates works in Australia.
Oh, it just smells awful. Like kangaroo pouch.
Also, kangaroo pouches are filled with like mucus. It's so gross.
Really?
Yeah, they're not like as dry as the cartoons would have you believe.
Man, koalas are mean and kangaroo pouches are wet.
Koalas like all have STDs too or something?
Yeah, they're like riddled with syphilis.
Also, they're super high because eating eucalyptus gets them high because it's like slightly poisonous. So they're all just like fucked up with syphilis in a tree. Just like, oh.
That's the life.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to end on one thing here. Post good day, mates. Thanks.
Number 4.
Thank you.
God damn
Thank
it.
You for that.
Just bury He's it. Got with, this... Bury it with the transition noise.
Yeah, you have soundboard power. You can do whatever you want. The number four today is something that's much less fun and stupid than McDonald's. But don't worry, we got lots more fun, stupid stuff coming up. I wanted to talk mainly because I got fucking like attacked or not attacked. I was attacked. I was assaulted. but I got like beset upon on Twitter. Because part of the if you haven't heard like the Sinclair news stuff is that there's like a ton of local news stations that are owned by this company, and they straight up sent them scripts about how like the media is full of lies, and they're like, just read this on air.
And they all did it, and there's a creepy video of them all
yeah,
reading it. In
yeah,
unison.
Like word for word. So again, I mean, it just follows the pattern of everything. It's like anything that the right accuses the left of doing is something that they're actively doing, because it's like sending someone a script to read on air as news is propaganda. That is actually what it is. Not it's like it's not when some like singer makes a song about how like we shouldn't kill gay people or whatever, and they're like, this is you're influencing the children. We're doing that.
Yeah, but Obama was probably doing that, right? That's what
killing
I assume gay male think. No, like oh. Making the media do things.
Oh yeah, this is what they think, but it's like. Like at least have the don't just you know it's like sending out form letters to every college you're applying to or so yeah. Like, well, mix up the wording.
It's especially funny because it's like what the propaganda is about, which is about like media bias and right. Shit. Yeah.
Well, the best
like,
the best thing is
say
that,
you're liar.
The best thing is that like I think it was 5'4" Wunderkind Ben Shapiro was like. Well, you know, does anyone actually listen to the statement? Because if you weren't reading it from Sinclair and someone said it on CNN, I would think most people wouldn't be upset about it. It's just a concern about biased news. And it's like, okay, you little yeah. Twerp, fuck yeah. Off.
Little twerp.
If
exactly.
Every detail of this story was different, would it be such a big deal? Right. I don't think so.
It's like, we know what's coming from fucking Sinclair. We know that Sinclair is in bed. Yeah, they, yeah. Literally, Jared Kushner said that they struck a deal with Sinclair for favorable coverage in 2016.
Yeah.
So... Fuck off, yeah. You fucking nerd.
Yeah.
Look, if this had been on a different network and it hadn't been propaganda, would you be calling it propaganda? I don't think so. Checkmate, meet me on the field of logic, you know, homosexualize sin or whatever he talks about.
Would you like, be upset if this was a liberal company? It's like, probably not, but it's not going to be that and never will be yeah. That. So I don't yeah. Care.
So the secondary thing was like after that all came out, and, you know, people were, like, rightfully mad about that. There's a thing that came out that someone, some employee of Sinclair leaked or sent where there's a thing in their employment contract that says if they leave the company, I mean, the what they say it's for is, like, loss of value or some bullshit. Mm-hmm. But, like, if they leave the company, they have to pay Sinclair, like, the equivalent of, like, 40% of their annual salary as some sort of fucked up reverse severance package where they have to pay the company that they left. Because
yeah.
They're leaving?
And there's like a non-compete. It's like textbook, like a thing that would not be enforceable if you sued on the contract. Like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
Just meant to scare people into not quitting their job or
yeah.
Not, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's like clearly illegal.
Fun, brief wrestling fact. Sinclair owns Ring of Honor, which is a
true.
Big wrestling promotion. And Hangman Page liked a bunch of tweets about how Sinclair sucks. And so I like him now.
He was a teacher. He's on the good
yeah,
side.
Yeah, he's like he was a public school teacher.
Hangman Page?
Hangman Page. He comes out with a noose around his
neck. He took a pretty sick bump, yeah. Too, at the show we went to.
Yeah, he jumped off a balcony. He did backflip off it. It was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Continue.
No, that's right. It sounds cool.
It was cool, and
we're
he's cool.
We're testing the tolerance here.
He's yeah. Cool because he was just secretly...
Dipping your toe in the water.
he secretly was like, fuck Sinclair,
yeah,
but
like,
only
sound
in the
great.
Faves.
No, it's I like seeing backflips. always. So that came out, and then there's this thing came out that I feel like keeps happening where it was like people are responding to that. Like someone posts that and it's like this is clear, crazy exploitative labor. Like you don't that's not something you have people sign or whatever.
Yeah. Well, like Patty said, it's like it's not even legal
yeah.
To do
well,
that.
I mean, there's a thing yeah. That like showbiz stuff is weird, like the contracts, because so much of it's pegged to your like person, like you as a personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That there is a certain amount of like, you can get a non-compete. Like Conan had that non-compete, right? When,
right.
When he quit it, when he quit his show and he couldn't do anything else, or when the show got canceled, yeah. Or like there is a certain amount of value they can peg to you, and there's a certain amount where like they can say like you can't, you know, bolt to a competitor without you know paying some penalty or whatever. And it happens in other industries too, but in general, yeah. They're not really enforceable. But like. these are like having to pay, especially, is insane.
It's
like
crazy.
Having to pay.
I don't, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I don't mind the non compete. Sorry, the non compete is not. My dog walking company, I had signed a non compete to not walk fucking other dogs if I quit or whatever. But the like 40% annual salary is basically such a huge financial stumbling block that no one can quit. You can't, especially with like how hard it is to get a job right now, to make someone go basically probably into debt for quitting, like to put they'd have to put themselves on the job market while actively accruing debt, which is just like insane. Yeah. You know,
newscasters have like, if at least from my knowledge of like working in local TV, they're like, they don't have like a equivalent SAG-AFTRA type union. Yeah. Like they do. And they're, some of them are SAG-AFTRA eligible, but a lot of them aren't. So like, a lot of times they're stuck with shit like this. It's really bad.
And I can't really see there being like a huge amount. I mean, how many fucking on-screen talent roles are there in a given market for local?
People go to places that are nowhere near where they're from.
Oh yeah. It's really like you move around for no money and you have to like, you start in shitty, tiny, crappy markets and then hopefully work your way up.
It's really weird because like you're famous, like people, everyone knows you or whatever region you're in, but you make like no money.
No money.
But the thing that like got to me was like a secondary part. Like, A, this is all very fucked up, and I think it's worth talking about. But there's this like weird knee-jerky reaction that keeps happening with these sort of stories where it was like, oh, this fucking agreement is crazy. And then all these people that are purportedly like they're like, we're Democrats, we're on the left and whatever, they start jumping in and being like, maybe you should read your fucking contracts. And it's like, how is this helpful? How is this productive at all?
Yeah, like, that, why like, did you take a job with such an evil company? I don't know, because I need to earn money.
Yeah, it's like, and it just seems like, not like want to accuse them, but it's like, clearly these are people that I feel like probably like got a job immediately out of college and have like never not had job security, because it's like, you don't have, like, especially if you really need that money, there's no way that you can read a contract and be like, this seems a little fishy, I'm going to pass. Like, you just, some people don't have that
opportunity. Like to negotiate this contract, please.
Yeah,
a lot of times with local affiliates like that too, like you start working somewhere else and you start working at a place, you sign on under one contract, then the company that owns your local affiliate sells your affiliate to another company.
Right. Sinclair has been buying up these stations.
Yeah.
These people did not sign these. They probably assigned it when Sinclair bought them out of nowhere.
Right. But it's not like you like were debating about taking this job with this evil company. It's do you want to stay in this place that you've worked for multiple years, or do you want to find another, like uproot your whole life and find another job?
And that's like what's crazy is I feel like, and this is not just the Sinclair thing, but I've seen in similar instances like these people, it's like, what is this thing where, and usually their response is like, I was offered a job and I turned it down. It's like, you need to read these contracts. Why aren't you having, it's like, it's so crazy.
Most people
like,
aren't lawyers and most people don't know lawyers.
Yeah. People do that. And also it's like, why? Why are you mad and spiteful at these people who are in this situation instead of the company that put them in this situation? Like, it's stupid that we're at a point where we pretend that employment contracts you're signing is like, this is out of a fucking like cartoon or something. It's like, or like some TV show where it's like, if you read your contract, you'll find you work for us forever. It's like, why is it expected for these companies to try to slip in like, like you said, basically illegal things, and like be like, well, oh, you caught it. No, you know, sharp fucking tool in the box. Welcome aboard.
Well, if you want out, you got to file like, a fucking lawsuit. That costs money. Forget about everything.
Well,
else.
These are the people that never. They're like, they cannot grasp the idea of someone like not having the means to. Yeah, they're like, we'll take him
sue
to court.
Their boss.
It's like,
are
you fucking kidding me, dude?
Well, and like being, there's a thing where everyone needs to be smarter than everybody online. And it's like, I think it's very much at the expense of like compassion or empathy, where it's like, well, you should have known better. And that's it. It's like, well, okay, this person's life is still like, you know,
fucked up and they don't deserve it.
Right.
And that,
the penalty, that's the thing that always drives me crazy. It's like, yeah, they should have known better maybe, but the penalty of not knowing better shouldn't be your life being ruined. Yeah. Like, that's not a commensurate proportional consequence to being a little bit careless when you're young and taking a job. Like, that's stupid. That's a stupid thing to equate.
And it's like most of these contracts I would assume are long and fucking dense and like confusing. It's like not
I just send all my contract agreements to Patty.
Yeah. Well, like, that's what my, I mean, my dad will read mine because he's a lawyer, but like, not everybody has a dad who's a lawyer.
Exactly, yeah.
It's crazy that these people are just like, I mean, I would never get caught in this situation. It's like, okay, well, think about the million fucking reasons that you don't have to deal with that situation, because most people don't have those options.
And I'm like, glad you're using our podcast to yell at people who are mad at you online today.
Yeah,
I think this is really why we all started a podcast.
What's important is that I'm right, and
taking
I have a podcast, and they
out
don't.
Your grudges with a megaphone.
Yeah,
look, it's cool. Sinclair is a cancer. It is on the plus side.
It seems to only.
I mean, local news. Like, who fucking watches local news? Old people, right? Yeah, so they're already, you know,
they're gone, lost cause. Right?
So hopefully that just sort of is a problem that sort of takes care of itself.
On the plus side, I will be in the front row at Ring of Honor on Saturday.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
just giving Sinclair.
There's no politics. Nobody pays attention to what anybody says. When we were at that show, it was like those segments were just like, come on, get to the wrestling.
Actually, it would kind of kick ass if they made the wrestlers read that statement like as a promo.
It's just like, or what is the segments that were like, it was like skits on a rap album. It's like, come on. Like,
completely, you know, skip button, fast forward.
Not a whole lot of story. The
last thing I'd say about it is that I got the full, like, beset upon by hashtag resistance treatment of getting called a Russian bot. Someone's like, oh, look, it's a Botsky. And I was like,
a Botsky.
Yeah, I was like,
they were
so
proud of that one.
Literally, sounds shitty. I'm verified. Like,
I'm a certified account.
Yeah, certified. You can check my credentials. Anyways.
That's Seth Abramson says his account is certified. You would think that somebody who's that like up their own ass about Twitter
would use
the right word. Yeah, because he has a CV you can download.
Yeah,
and it's like a shitload of all media appearances and stuff, and then like, including some things that like he was interviewed for, but pieces never ran. Yeah. Like Luke O'Neill was saying, like, yeah, I looked at his CV and it's like something that I interviewed about, but we never wrote anything about it. And it's like, this is an insane man. Yeah.
Someone contacted me.
Yeah. There was a piece that was going to run. But the fun fact about Sinclair, the guy who runs it now, he was the son of the guy who started the company. It had a different name.
Yeah.
Like Champlain or I forget what it was, something like that. But, he was when his dad died and he took over the company, he was making softcore porno movies. That's the guy who is now destroying. So it's amazing how like
wrong with little softcore porno.
The ascendance of the right in recent times among the people who are in charge now, like there's the evangelicals as always, but it's no longer like the serious conservatives. It's all these fucking scumbags who just got rich and just decided they're conservative now because they make more money.
Yeah.
And they can pretend that they're moral or whatever. But like, it's kind of interesting to watch, folks. That's all.
Interesting is a word for it.
Hang on a sec.
Moon pie. What a time to be alive.
Little palate cleanser there.
Back to the fun stuff.
Number 3.
Condoms, folks. the teens are at it again. This thing that's definitely real.
Definitely real, definitely happening.
Happens all the time, and is just started by teens now. They're snorting condoms. The condom goes...
It's healthy.
I guess tip first into your nose, and then try to pull it out through their mouth, because it goes through your whole like deal in there. That sounds like a nightmare for a lot of reasons.
The consistency of that, like imagining that like texture,
and just, like,
is upsetting to
me. Do you want to irritate your entire sinus cavity?
What if you did that and then it was how you found out?
They're just sterile.
Well, no, what if you did that and you found out that's how you found out you were allergic to latex?
Eli's like, actually, it's good, okay?
Yeah. It's a good way to clear out the sinuses.
But it just, then you're allergic and it gets all like... puffed up and disgusting.
It's
and
funny
like
to me
inflamed.
That, yeah, it'd be funny to me if that's the first interaction you have with the condom is like shoving.
Well,
it
yeah, it's
nose.
Teens.
Yeah. Teens fuck.
Some teens fuck. Were you fucking as a teen?
Look. I was not.
I was not. But
I was not either.
But I feel like you
some
just like
teens fuck. But I feel like the teens that fuck and the teens that are snorting condoms probably not the same teens.
I feel like you've touched a condom though. Like I feel like if you're a male teen, you're like.
You're
like
you buy
buying
one
to
play
like
with it.
Figure like you're like what is this about?
Yeah. Nope.
I used to go to
Catholic high school.
Oh yeah,
no I condoms
did
huh?
not exist.
I was too embarrassed to buy them at a convenience store, so I bought them from the dispenser at a movie theater because I was like, "What is? So what are these?
That's
all
where
about?
You get the good ones.
Yeah.
Rough Riders.
I feel like this is possibly too much information, but like I have never like put a condom on a penis, and at this point in my life, I'm afraid to do it because I think I'm going to do it wrong.
You never did I'm almost 30.
No.
Wouldn't the dude do it, though, anyway?
That's the thing, is, like, the dude always does it, but it's, like, I feel like that's a skill I should know
how to do.
I need
you to do it. It's, like, fuck you, man.
No. Yeah.
But, like, I should probably know, right?
I don't know. I would never expect it to be put on. I don't know.
Not that complicated. What is, like, pinch an inch? There's all that shit that they teach you in sex ed?
That's, yeah. I don't know. What it, like, which side do you, okay. So, like, the condom's all rolled up, right? And there's, like, the
There's a part that's, like,
we were joking
up.
About
there's
having like to explain how to use them, but we're actually, this is now...
I literally, that's why, I mean, like, I feel like I've gone this long in my life, and it's, like, embarrassing that I don't know.
Yeah.
So...
It was,
So, I'm doing that thing where, like, you put your hands on your knees and kind of bend over, like, okay, kids.
Yeah. Well, I remember, like, Mobute or whatever was, like, super funny on tour. He sent a message one point, so he, like, has listened to this with his kid. So I hope he's listening with his kid, and your kid's getting sex ed for free right now.
What
was the question,
so,
Kath?
There's, like, it's all rolled up, and there's, like, a ridge, and then you roll it on, right?
Yeah, it's, like,
and so the ridge is, like, on the outside. Like, it rolls down.
Yeah. It rolls down.
I'm like gesturing. I genuinely don't know.
I don't know how to explain it. It's like, yeah, you want it to like roll down over the paint. Like you don't want to have to like roll it from the inside.
Yeah,
unroll
that
it
seems,
from the inside.
So what
you
that do seems is bad.
You take it and you blow it up like a balloon and then you hold it pinned shut and then really fast, you just get it on there.
And
it goes
over the balls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's what restricts the vas deferens.
You get the whole thing in there.
Yeah. You just got to get as much in there as you can.
Yeah.
Just mash it in and then
we're doing this soft, by the way, right? Yeah. This is you do it to a flaccid penis.
I think by the time you get to that point,
I mean, depending on how much you've had to drink sometimes. Let's talk about it. All right, let's move on.
No,
next story, number two. Just got real
morning radio in here real quick.
But this is just like this endless stream, and it's awesome because all the people who hate the Parkland teens now, they get to add this, their list of things they all do.
These Parkland teens snorting condoms.
David Hogg's
eating Tide Pods. It's like, nobody ever did that, you fucking dipshit.
David Hogg loves snorting condoms. That's the one thing I know about him.
Also, like in the old days, kids weren't stupid. They just like would hit each other with rocks.
When I was his age, I was being shipped off to die. It's like, wow, yeah, much better. Yeah. Much better world then.
Did you ever do that thing when you were a kid where it was like, you're supposed to like put your head between your legs and hyperventilate so you like get all high? You like pass out almost?
The kids did the pass out thing. I think it was like right after me. It was like they call it like Space Cadet, where you just get choked until you pass out. I mean,
nope.
It was that.
Just teens choking each other out.
Can't say I didn't. Can't say I didn't ask.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's just stupid. It's like kids are dumb. Who gives
a shit
what time
choking,
it was?
And kids are using it to get high.
Yeah. Why can't
it's
all local news shit. It's like all this stuff, and it's like rainbow parties or like any of those things.
Yeah.
Like we're totally real.
Well, so like I guess there have been some YouTube videos of people snorting condoms, but we were talking about this earlier. Like this has been a thing. At least our generation knows it from Steve-O.
Yeah, there's YouTube videos of a lot of stuff.
There's I've seen GIFs of this from like years and years ago. It's just one of those like weird internet things that was passed around. I think people might really do this, but it's also like who gives a shit? Like it's gross, but it's like, you know,
it's gross.
Whatever.
Just like imagining that thin latexy stuff, and it's like probably got lube on it. It's just like
that. Probably seems like it'll make it easier. I mean, this goes in smooth. This is the eating a worm at on the playground or whatever. It's just a gross thing.
Nobody
that's like probably
likes me. Everybody hates me.
Or we're watching someone do it.
I mean, if anything, it'll teach you something about
the structure of the human
body.
The structure of the human body and the durability of a condom. Two important things to know.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
See, they're just having good-natured fun.
Yeah. Look, do you want teens to be fucking, or do you want them to be snorting condoms?
I'm mad this is a vertical video.
Like, I mean, look, it's weird because it's like, oh, there she goes. Like, it's a condom, so I guess it's, like, sexual, but it's also, like, you probably used to, like, snort pixie sticks and dumb shit when you were a kid, right? Like, that's...
It's not sexual. A condom not on a penis is, like, not sexual.
Yeah, but I think the connection is there. That's why, like, when
that
you see a condom on the ground, you're like, ugh! You see trash on the ground all the time.
Yeah, but when you see a condom on the ground, it's because it's probably been used.
She just pulled it out of her mouth.
I mean, kids used to do this with spaghetti all the fucking time and shit.
Yeah.
Well, spaghetti is a little bit less gross than a condiment.
But that's what I'm saying. Why? It's not.
Because food? It's food.
Yeah, but
and
I mean,
it's like
what?
Thin and it's not covered in lube.
What is food?
I mean, folks, you can eat anything.
All right, what we're it's saying a flavored is condom. It's healthy now to eat a condom. Food. That's yeah. It's good, it's for, good you. For you. You should do it.
Well, you. I know people, dog walker friends, that have been like, if a dog's eating a condom and they had to like
fish it out of its condom. Poop.
No, like it's not, it doesn't work like that because it doesn't get digested. So it's more like they have to like yank a condom out of a dog's asshole.
Yeah, well, that's similar to what this is.
Yeah, it's just a little further of a trip. It just goes all the way
through.
Dogs
do the real condom challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's real. Yeah. Well, look.
Out of context.
The Parkland teens are all doing this. I read about it on Hogwatch, the website they set up for David Hogg.
To watch him.
Because these people have officially had their brains completely shattered by the teens mouthing off to them about guns, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
So we're going to see how far that goes. Until one of them like tries to attack one of them, which I feel like we're sort of building towards a weird frenzy.
Probably.
Which is not good. But for now, it's funny. They're very mad. They're just like, I wish somebody would kick that kid's ass. And it's like, you just want to beat up a high school kid.
A skinny high school kid.
That survived a school shooting.
That survived, yeah.
Really, that school shooting was just the start of your problems, kid.
Frank Stallone had to apologize over the weekend.
Yeah.
Why even give him the fucking
That's the
time
thing.
Of day?
I think what it is just like washed up celebrities have realized that they can get in the news if they call a traumatized child a crisis.
Well, you find out what it's a good way of signaling what side you're on. Mm. So they can be like, oh, we can always get, we need celebrities because there are no famous ones who like conservative stuff.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can get Frank Stallone.
Like this. I don't know. Like, there must. I'm just surprised how many people have just like been like, yeah, I guess this is what we're doing now. Like, it feels like out of something like like a movie or it's like you like hang out with like the bad kids, and at first they're like, we're just going to McDonald's, we're gonna hang out, you wanna come? And they're like, oh, cool, you guys are the cool kids. And then later on, they're like, we're gonna steal a car. And it's like, at some point, wouldn't these people be like, where all of a sudden they get in because they're like, yeah, we just like don't want as many taxes. We don't really like the government. They're like, oh, okay. And so like, we're yelling at kids that were in a school shooting. And you're like, I think I'm going to go home. My mom is calling, so I have to. But everyone's just like, yeah, all right, I guess. I don't want to be a Democrat. God fucking forbid. So, you were a spoiled brat, and I hope you get spanked. Like, it's, you know, they're in. They're all fucking in.
They're,
so,
yeah.
You know?
I think a lot of the last sort of sensible conservatives jumped off with Palin. I think that was like the first like big attrition of like smart people. I think smart people left then and normal people left after like Sandy Hook. And now it's just all insane people.
Well, Palin is kind of interesting because she is now just like a human shitty website aggregator now. Like she posts to like, you know, it's like, all her like Twitter feed is just links. That's just like
she's like,
wow, check this out, and it's like breaking.americanews.com or whatever. And it's just she's like a shitty website.
She's like she's like George Takei plus Alex Jones.
Right.
Yeah, but it's like also like I don't think she's not gonna go. It's just like the stuff she says is no dumber. The stuff is she says is no dumber than the stuff Trump says a lot of times.
Oh no, but she was the first. That's what I mean is like in 2004, 2008, whenever she 2008 I guess.
Yeah.
Like that was when she was the dumbest thing in the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were like, "That's it, I'm out." And then it's gotten so much dumber since then.
Yeah,
like way dumber.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, no, it's if you're a stupidity accelerationist, this is like your time.
Yeah.
That's like I obviously grew up in D.C., so it's like but it's, like, it did go from like I feel like when I was a kid or whatever, it'd be like Democrat versus Republican, be like those guys, no thank you, like that. To now, it's just like, I don't know what is happening. Like, why are they screaming at children? But this is nothing no one's heard before, so.
So fuck them. Let's go to the next one.
Let's go to fun shit.
Number two.
Okay, number two is a... I like this guy. I guess there's, like, conflicting opinions about it. But what it is that... let me check exactly where it was. But... this is in Toronto.
Oh, I always want to say, by the way, we blew it both times. Thank you for the condom story and the McDonald's story to the only alpaca.
Yeah.
On the Discord.
Whoa, that was weird. We did that in sync.
Yeah.
We're learning. thank you, the only alpaca.
Thank you for that.
Appreciate it. This is from Toronto. What happened is that there is a new This is also good. So this describes a nose to tail bistro, which that will come into play later. Anyways, they opened a restaurant, and then there were a bunch of vegan activists protesting in front of the restaurant. And he, in just great move, okay, so this is the feud began late last year when the name of the restaurant's Antler. Antler staffer put
That's
out
a dumb name.
Yeah, what every restaurant name is dumb. It's always like two nouns with a plus sign.
I just like I know exactly what a nose to tail restaurant called Antler. Like I know the font on the sign.
Yeah,
I know what the restaurant looks like.
Yeah,
I know like it's reclaimed wood and it says Antler in like a muted gold. And the T has an antler. Like I just
it's muted gold, but the T doesn't have an antler.
I'm close though, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The aesthetic.
I was gonna say it's a thin sans serif font.
Yeah.
You know, like with like spaced out.
Yeah.
So they put out a playful chalkboard sign in front of the restaurant with the message "Venison is the new kale," which is like whatever. It's not a fucking hilarious joke, but
it
just doesn't matter. And it was intended to be a joke geared at a restaurant down the block that him and his crew are so. But the message did not sit well with vegan activist Marnie Ugar, who operates a dog walking business in the neighborhood. Of course, I've worked at a dog walking business. I'm not hating, but yeah. She arranged a small protest of about six people on Thursday night in front of the restaurant with activists holding signs with messages like "Speciesism equals discrimination equals injustice," which like... They were specifically trying to send the message that eating pasture-raised, hormone-free meat is not more ethical than eating commodity meat in the long run, which I don't think anyone really doesn't think that. It's a game of inches there. But, like, this is also a thing where I, like veganism is great. I think the people that want to do that, it's awesome. But it's just, like, when you start, like, trying to force other people onto it, it's, like, it's the thing of, like, this is something I'm doing. And then also, if you are going to do that, there are even better... ways there's better reasons for that than just pure guilt trip, which is like being like talking about the energy consumption. Like, you know, if people ate less meat, like the carbon footprint would be like much lower.
That's the thing that like bothers me about this is like, I do like, yeah, no, factory farming is worse than eating like sustainably raised meat. Like it is. It's certainly like from a moral perspective, killing an animal to eat when you don't have to, like, I get that you can make the argument that that's bad. And like, I think if everybody thought about it seriously, like it's hard to argue with the idea that vegetarianism is a better way to live. But that said, this is not, you don't protest by talking about speciesism.
Yeah.
If you want people to like, no one's going to see that and be like, man, you're right. I should be vegan.
That's part of what it is. Is like, especially these signs, like this is specifically a sign they had. It's quoted in the article. Speciesism equals discrimination equals injustice. Right now,
right.
Is that the fucking fight that you're choosing? Like right now, like I think for what's happening right now, where there's like a huge amount of people that are being treated so bad, it's like, sorry, but like vegan, like global veganism, back burner. Like,
yeah,
not our priority right now.
Especially because like, hey, you know who picks your vegetables? Ridiculously underpaid, exploited, illegal immigrants who are being like completely taken advantage of in every possible way. So like,
I think Chelsea Peretti has like a good joke about that.
Yeah,
it's just it's all like different, and it's like the whole thing is about these protests most of the time is like, it's just like, who is it? I feel like it's for you. I feel like it's
for you.
You're not going to convince anybody. It's like one specific restaurant. There was in my neighborhood where I live, there was a burger restaurant that was opening up. It's not a chain. It's nothing. It's a small business. Seems to be owned by neighborhood owners. I think it was a restaurant that used to be open and had to close because their sign was like, we're coming back. And they're opening a burger restaurant. And they just had this sign up that was just like, hey, we're coming back. Please come by and visit when we're open. And someone had like graffitied over in big letters, like, better have a vegan option. Like, it's just like, fuck up. Like, what? It's clearly just about you, because I feel like if you're that invested in like veganism, you're probably somebody also who supports small business. Like, if you don't eat meat, then don't eat meat. But why are you like threatening a small business to not cater to a choice that you've made? Like,
what? So what happened with Antler?
Yeah, now? This isn't even the part of the story that we're trying to get to. But so anyways, this guy decided to do when they were protesting was to bring out and break down a full leg of deer. In the, like, they have a big open window as the front.
So, like, in front of all the vegans are chopping up a deer leg?
Yeah, yeah. He just, like, fully butchering an ant, like, you know. And also it says here he attempted to, he, like, they have vegan dishes. And they've been, like, it's just, and then, you know, this one was like, the goal is always for a restaurant to go fully vegan, which is just like, what are you trying to do? Where is this going to go? Like, they're just like, yep, you know.
He's just trying to be like, leave me alone, please.
Yeah. So this isn't even like immediate. It's like they've like harassed his restaurant for a week. So he's like, okay, I'm just going to bring a deer leg to the window and break it down in front of the vegans. They called the cops because who wouldn't have expected that? And
vegans are the most like, can I speak to your manager group of people on earth?
I was going to say vegans are like they're like the poly people of food.
Yeah.
Where like you can only get through like a certain number of sentences before it somehow comes up.
Well, it's similar.
I mean, this is a well-trodden joke, I think, but like,
it's
similar
in the sense of like, a choice you've made that you have. You act like you're chill with other people making their own choices, but you secretly believe everyone should make the same choice you made.
Right. Like, I eat whatever I eat, but like, it doesn't become like a core part of my identity, I guess, because, but you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to like become like your thing. It's like, I play video games, but I'm not a gamer the way that these people are.
Yeah.
Gamers.
And like, I kind of understand it with vegans more than I understand it with some people. Like, I understand it with vegans more than I understand it with, like, paleo people or something, like, where that's their whole thing. Because, like, at least if you're a vegan for, like, moral reasons or environmental reasons, there's, like, a political ideology behind it.
You get to feel better than everybody else.
Well, and that. But, like, I don't give a shit about anybody's diet. I don't care. I like talking about food that's good and, like, tell me the food you ate recently that's good. But I don't give a shit about what you don't eat. That's the most boring shit in the world.
And if you want to go vegan, then that's great. And I, like, applaud your choice. But, like, you should be satisfied with yourself knowing that you made a choice that you personally think is the right choice. And it's not my duty to, like, confirm that for you continuously.
Yeah.
Like,
also, fucking calling the cops on someone breaking down a deer leg is so good.
In his property.
In his own restaurant.
He says, and it says, the cops were called to keep the peace, but no charges were issued, which is the nice way of saying the cops were like, what?
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, no, we're like,
they rode up on those horses.
Also, like,
this is Toronto, so
I can't really take
Mounties.
I can't really take somebody's claim of injustice seriously if they're the type of person to immediately call the cops when they're being like,
officer. Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, if you're that willing to invoke the fucking police.
There aren't enough options for me at this nose to tail boot bistro.
Yeah. You're being kept down.
I guess those aren't like environmental terrorists if they're calling the police.
Exactly.
These are not elf
I would
people.
Respect it more if they were environmental terrorists. Right. Like, at least then I would be like,
They're not blowing up power plants or whatever. hello.
These people should use this energy and go chain themselves to like a forklift or something. Like, just do something, climb a tree and live in it for peace or something. Do that.
Yeah.
Let me eat at this bistro.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Brooklyn Star in
No.
Brooklyn? They have it at the bottom of their menu.
It's in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Sorry.
the famous borough. All right.
Now, vegans, fine. Kath, give me a break. They have a thing at the bottom of their menu that says, like, all animals are killed extremely humanely with a five-finger exploding heart punch. It's good. Anyways, so then they were like, Ugar emailed. She's like, I'm offering. She'd limit the protest to once a month. If you would put a sign in, see, also like,
what about every other fucking restaurant?
Sign? Yeah, it's just like these. Also, some of these protest, like these techniques for protest and the way that you use protesting and like the good have been, they were developed to like protest real things, and now you're taking like these ways that people have used to actually change societal injustice, and you're like, I'm doing it, but for me, and it's like,
what's the sign?
She said the limited process, if he put a sign in Antler's window explaining that animals have rights and killing them is wrong, which I would have done because that's hilarious.
That's like really funny.
I just like put on the door, I'm like, hey, animals have rights, killing them is wrong. Anyways, today's special is fucking deer hearts or whatever.
And today's special is a gorilla that knows sign language.
Yeah, cocoa steaks. So, and then he said he countered with an offer to cook his vegan tasting menu for the protesters and bring them a foreign trip, which, God,
that's
there's nothing
charitable.
Especially because nothing sounds worse than sharing a meal with these motherfuckers.
And what do you really want? You want the restaurant to close. You want me to be financially ruined.
They bring them a vegan tasting menu and they're like, I'm sorry. I also don't eat gluten. Like, they just can't eat any of it.
Well, yeah. And then to just like that, they want the restaurant to close. Ugar hasn't accepted, but in a surprising twist, the press attention surrounding this incident has led to a bump in reservations for Antlers. So they're doing better than they ever did. Also, happy it's a ending. Weird, like, this is very small, but it's weird to, of those restaurants, a restaurant that's actually nose to tail is like,
way better.
More responsible.
Protest than, McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because they call the cops on people who get the wrong order, but also because... Yeah.
Vegans, no, they should go to McDonald's and they just call the cops on each other for fucking like ping pong just forever back and forth.
Just that would be great. They're all filming.
Just 30 people all with their phones out. My rights are being infringed.
Somebody who works at McDonald's is like, hey, buddy, if you hate this stuff, just wait to find out who makes your phone. It's like, oh, no.
Animals?
I'm participating in capitalism.
Cows make your phone, buddy. Think about that.
It's like like the smartest animal of all, human.
Yeah. So anyways, vegan cookies are dry and shitty, and that's the end of that.
You know what's good? Vegan zucchini bread. It's good. It's made with applesauce.
Yeah, but the zucchini bread, it's already all fucked up.
You don't like zucchini bread?
What can't go in it otherwise?
Eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Pass.
What's wrong with it? I mean, I guess it's the conditions they're kept in, but whatever.
Fun fact, in India, being vegetarian, you can't eat eggs because they're fetal chickens. You can have milk, though.
But they're just empty embryos. They're not fertilized.
According to Hindu vegetarianism, I guess they're pro-life because it's already counts as an animal.
Yeah.
Can't eat an egg.
Wait, is there some like horrific thing of like, if you gotta, you can't eat eggs, but if you don't eat eggs, then you believe in life at conception, so you gotta, and then they just get caught in this forever loop where you're like, well, if you know, I don't know where I'm going
it's
with
like
this.
I'm pro-death, it's like
there.
I'm pro-death penalty, I'm pro-choice,
anti-eggs,
and you can't eat eggs. Yeah. It's like, that is extremely inconsistent. Everything about that is very confusing.
Look, me eating eggs is supporting chicken abortions because I'm literally eating.
I contain multitudes. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're pro-choice. Do you eat the fetuses? Because I do that with chickens. I'm pretty pro-chicken abortion, mostly poached if possible. That's real gross. Yeah, give it a moon pie. I think.
Moon pie.
Can we have a let's play some basketball too?
Be alive.
Yeah, okay. Thank God.
All right, it's time.
All right, guys.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Okay, so this one, there's a lot going on here. this one's also in Canada. This comes to us from Dee Dee Egregious, and thank you very much for this.
Yeah, Dee Dee Egregious literally said that they literally upgraded their Patreon subscriptions so that they could submit this, which I really respect.
Yeah. Thank you for that as well.
It was a gem. Like, thank you.
There's a lot going on here. So we'll just sort of set the scene here. This is Fancy Hotel, the Fairmont Empress in Victoria, Victoria, what is it? British Columbia.
Yep.
In Canada. There's a guy who was banned. They just lifted the ban. I'll just read the headlines. Easier this way. How seagulls, pepperoni, got Dartmouth man banned from posh BC hotel. So for 17 years.
I don't know how you were going to get there from how it started.
I was trying to do something creative. It didn't work out.
It's a hard thing to circle around.
It's like trying to pick up a cat. It's kind of.
This dude, 17 years. He was banned for 17 years from this hotel because he. All right.
17.
There's like a news story in this. There's a picture of him. Like a CBS Sunday Morning segment about this guy going back to the front desk of this hotel he's been banned from for 7 years trying to make things right. And so first we'll get the backstory here. So he was 17 years ago, he was bringing a suitcase full of he's from Halifax, Brothers Pepperoni.
Just a suitcase full of pepperoni.
Yeah,
small
suitcase.
Traveling pepperoni salesman.
Yeah, you just bring a suitcase full of pepperoni around. Yeah. This is going to his friends in the Navy, so that's okay.
If you're
going to
bring pepperoni, bring in a post or two, one of those long
It's okay, guys. You guys want anything? I'm coming up from Halifax. Yeah, can we get some of that Brothers pepperoni? Some of that Brothers pepperoni, please.
Just well, when I say some, I mean a suitcase full.
Yeah.
People from Halifax are probably really fucking mad right now. Maybe this is like a whole thing. I don't know.
Is this like a famous type of pepperoni? Yeah.
You also have to hope that he just walked in and like put the suitcase on the desk, spun it 180, popped the clasp, and was like, fill her up.
And then it was banded like money.
Yeah. They weighed the suitcase empty and then filled it with pepperoni and weighed it again. And that's how they figured out.
And then he opened it up later and it glowed like in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. And then he tripped and all the pepperonis fell out. And he was really embarrassed.
So he's going on a trip up to this fancy hotel, the Empress, and the Fairmont Empress, excuse me. And his bag got lost because it was that time of year, I guess, he said. I'm not sure what that means. The holidays.
He was having his yearly period. Male period.
It's like, I lost my pepperoni. Where's my... I need that bag.
You know that time of year when you lose your pepperoni?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Time.
That's my favorite euphemism.
So he's waiting at the hotel, just like sitting there like, oh man, I'm going to get these pepperonis. So it showed up, but he was worried that it would get warm because there was no fridge. Now, I didn't know there was pepperoni that needed to be refrigerated.
Yeah, it should be cured, right?
Shouldn't
yeah.
it also be like, it's like in like a shrink wrap thing? Like, I'm looking at this picture here. Like, this you don't have to refrigerate this.
Yeah, it should be, it's cured meat. Like,
also, if this is that time of year.
It's probably cold.
It's cold, right? But that's the thing. He opens the window and he puts it on a table near the window, the suitcase.
Uh-oh.
And apparently opens the suitcase, and then as he puts it here, he opened the suitcase. He laid the food out on a table near the window ledge and the chilly April air. April.
What's the time of year in April? Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
have you never read Huckleberry Finn? Yeah. Have you not learned about the dangers of leaving food on
the
window? No,
everyone travels at the end of winter, and he says, and that's when things kind of went bad.
Kind of.
So he left the room for a few hours to take a walk. That's a long ass walk.
Just gonna leave my open pepperonis. I just need to air them out.
Well, yeah.
Just taking a walk.
I assume because he got into the room, looked at a fucking briefcase full of pepperonis, like, I gotta think about what I'm doing with my life.
Yeah. Also, I bet the room smelled. The air was probably thick with pepperoni.
You can't ever use that briefcase again.
They were for his friends.
Walk into a client meeting and be like,
for
let me show you some of the plans. And immediately they're like, why does this smell like a fucking deli in here?
Pepperoni was for troops. Show some respect.
They were trooperonis.
Oof. So he leaves the room, and he came back to the room. He returned to a room full of seagulls. I don't just mean a couple of seagulls. I can only estimate how many there were. I'm thinking somewhere between 30 and 40 seagulls had come in through this open window while I was gone.
This day would be remembered forever in seagull society.
And I would have never thought of that because the East Coast seagulls aren't that brazen. So now we're
That's
like
not true.
Weirdly sort of like seagulls ascribing fucking love personalities. Food, to different kinds of birds.
Yeah.
At least I don't think they would.
Imagine opening that door.
Yeah.
This is a fancy ass hotel.
I hope
too.
Before he got back, somebody was like,
"This is a nice hotel."
Oh yeah.
So you're in your fancy hotel.
It also looks like a hotel that birds would roost in.
Yeah.
So
well, you walk in.
I hope the housekeeper knocked on the door.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, somebody called it in. They're like, "Something is happening." And they're just like, "Hello," and then they open the door like.
Do you guys hear
close it again?
A lot of wings fluttering,
horrifying screeching,
and packaging being ripped open. Oh, and bird noises from the room over there. So
the feathers from the pillows came alive.
I'm picturing him. He goes in the front door and he walks past the desk and like, Mr. Burchell, yeah. And then he goes up to his room and he's all very. And there's like a guy who like lets him out. There's like a bellhop in the elevator and all the whole deal. And then. He goes to his room and he puts his key in it. Yeah, hello, like waving to everybody. And then he opens the door and he looks in and he goes, and he like immediately slams it. Like, oh no.
He does the thing like in like a movie or something. He slams the door and then like puts his back against it. Right. Like
someone's coming in.
It's like, what's all that noise? Like, I left Finding Nemo on. It's the seagull part.
So we had.
I like the idea of him checking into this hotel in like a big trench coat, and it's just all seagulls inside. And then he gets to the room,
opens it, and they fly out.
And so he actually gets in trouble for secretly sharing a room and not declaring how many people are staying in it.
Sir, there are 33 seagulls in your room. Well, that's a mean way to describe my wife. I'll head up there now.
All right. So he goes in the room, And I guess he'd cracked the window enough for them to get in, but like not like a, it's not like thrown all the way open or thrown out the double windows. Just, and
in the hotel room next to you, you hear this.
Yeah. The seagulls were startled when he opened the door.
Were they interviewed for this piece?
Yes. The robot's like, man, this is great. Can you believe this? Oh shit, he's back. Like I'm just imagining. So he said many tried to leave through the small opening all at once.
What is that? They hit a seagull bottleneck?
Yeah. So they're all jamming their way in. They're Here's flying the all over the place. Here's the sound
I think it would make. This is 33 seagulls slamming into one small opening. Like that.
Yeah. They're all trapped.
Vacuum
none
seals.
None of them can do it. And so they're flying all over the place. More complicated thing here is they've been in there for a long time eating pepperoni, so you can imagine what the room looked like. So the room is covered in seagull shit also.
Pepperoni
the
shit.
Seagulls
and now
have bad
we've got
breath.
Seagulls flying around. The curtains are falling down. The lamps are falling down. It was a real mess. You said it, pal. I'm picturing this. This is now like hell. This is the room is hell.
And just this guy getting up, coming back home with the shredded clothes and this suitcase that reeks of cured meat.
So
this would be like, how was your trip? And he was
so
like,
story,
not great.
The story keeps escalating. Complicating matters was the fact Burchill had just started his job 3 months earlier. His employer had booked the hotel.
Oh, no.
And he needed to attend the dinner with customers. Is he a pepperoni salesman? Because I don't see any other reason for a lot of this stuff to be happening.
Yeah, even more dramatic, he's a salami salesman. This is
it's like ordering Coke when you work for Pepsi and you get fired like immediately. Yeah.
Even worse, when he came out of the hotel, there were 7 vegans protesting.
That was actually the reason, that was the origin story of the woman that was protesting the restaurant. She was a little girl staying in the room
She's
next door.
She's traumatized.
They thought she was salami.
So he got it down. So he's got to go pepperoni. He got to get to a dinner with customers. Got to impress with the boss. There's 2 seagulls left in the room. That's a lot harder to get 2 than it is to like deal with like 30, because you just kind of throw anything at them and they all are like getting hit.
It's like eating rice. It's like the last grains are the hardest to get out.
So one was just bouncing around on the windowsill. And I was kind of losing my temper at this point. Fair enough. This guy's really underselling a lot
like
of this.
This is like the most Canadian shit that only at this point is
I'm trying to imagine like the most
temper.
Panic man in the world. Like, what else is this?
I'm a little steamed.
It's like you're just, there's going to be a huge embarrassment coming here. Yeah. I'm mad because it's coming. I got to deal with this in the short term. I can't even birds in here when I let people in here. At the very least, the birds have to be gone. There's no other excuse.
He was meeting with people in his hotel room?
I guess, no, but like he had to like get ready. Like he had to like get dressed up or whatever, and there's fucking birds everywhere. You can't leave the bird in there. So
No. You definitely can't.
So he took off one of his shoes and threw it in the direction of the seagull, and both the seagull and the shoe went out the window. So not a great strategy there. Probably other stuff you could have thrown in the room than your shoe. One of the few things that is not covered in shit and is now out the window. The last seagull, he's literally chasing the last seagull around the room. It had a big piece of pepperoni in its mouth, and I could not get it to leave.
Now, housekeeping comes in. They're like, is there a seagull in your room? And he goes, yes, there is 1 seagull in my room.
This thing, you got all my pepperoni.
You won't believe how much this thing shits. It's crazy. So he ends up grabbing a towel from the bathroom, and he jumped the seagull, wrapped it in a towel, and threw it out the window.
So it hit the ground.
He says the seagull was shaken but not hurt. And now, again, this is like a fucking sketch. While everything was happening in his room, Burchill said there was a line of tourists out in front of the hotel who witnessed the shoe and seagull go out the window. I guess that made an impression on some people. It wasn't very smooth. He had to go downstairs to get the shoe and towel. He went back to the room where the smell of birds and pepperoni was becoming more apparent.
Do you think when he had to go down to get the towel, he like got it off the seagull that was underneath it, and the seagull just looked at him like
shaking
his head.
So birds and pepperoni. So his hotel room smells like Ocean City, Maryland.
He had to go to dinner, so he started to clean. He only had the one shoe, apparently, one pair of shoes. Clean shoe, which had fallen into some mud, which fits the hole.
Of course,
this guy,
of course it did.
It's like, womp, just like making that noise. Yeah. And then as he was drying the shoe with the hairdryer, the power went out in his room. At that point, he says he realized he was in way over his head with this mess. At that point, that's when he lost it. This was apparently a situation that could be unfucked up until the point where the power went out.
This is like the tale of Jonah level. Like,
so this is Job. That's what this is.
So they send the lady up to clean the room. He called the front desk for help. And he says, I still remember the look on her face when she opened the door. She had her cleaning kit with her, and it was quite clear the kit she had with her was not going to cover the damage. It was in the room. So they moved to another room. Hotel staff was nice about the whole thing, but a letter was sent to his employer telling him he would no longer be allowed to stay at the Empress. It was a decision he said he respected and understood.
That is fair.
This poor, beaten down man.
He wanted to make amends, which is why he went back last week. He asked to speak with the staff member who dealt with him the last time against the front desk person, but they were no longer working there.
17 years later?
It's like a lifer.
What kind of turnover is there at the hotel industry in Canada?
Did he like join AA or something? Why is he going back?
So he just went in there and he apologized. He said they forgave him. He said he left them a present of about a pound of Brothers TNT pepperoni. This guy's always has pepperoni with him.
I brought you a present. I'll just leave it here on the windowsill.
Oh, no!
I brought you guys a gift. Get that the fuck out of here, man. Are you serious? Can you read the room? You just told this story.
It's like when.
Well, sir, I'll make my exit.
It's like the thing where it's like, oh no, if a shark bites a human, they get the taste for human. All those birds they hear the Brothers pepperoni unwrapping, and they're like, oh, it's time.
Yeah, they're just super Italian birds now.
Yeah.
Oh, over here.
So this is. If this is viral marketing for Brothers Pepperoni, I'm not even going to be mad. I respect the
story. That's really good.
It's quite good. Like
Brothers Pepperoni doing well for something that sounds like you're talking about your sibling's dick.
Just the different tiers of like, all right, a lot of birds in here, not good. Just threw my shoe out the window, not good. Threw the towel out the window. Okay, a lot of people saw that. Gonna have to go down there and pick those up. Gotta go to the dinner with the customers. Gotta start cleaning off the shoe. Hair dryer. Power shorts out. Okay, I gotta talk to somebody about this. That's when like the game is the jig is up. Well, they fixed the power, I guess, at some point. So, that's really a wonderful journey.
That's so beautiful.
It's like that Sunny thing where Dennis talks about making lamps out of human skin. He's like the smell, D. Like it's the same as like having 33 seagulls in your room, like immediately bad. But like to have to deal with that and then also deal with the actual physical logistics and aftermath of having had 33 seagulls in your room is insane. Just being like, I mean, it was bad, but just the feathers and shit. I never got this far even if I'd imagined this, it would have become this much of an issue.
Right, because he didn't smell it when he was like panicking.
Yeah. Right.
But then when he left and came back, it's like, oh boy, this is gross. It's gross. Even the pepperoni by itself would be pretty gross, I think. But man, there's a lot more going on here.
Pepperoni and birds.
So shout out first of all to D.D. Egregious for that story.
Thank you so much. That was a joy.
And also to what was his name again?
The Only Alpaca.
Nick Burchill. Oh, and also of course, the Only Alpaca as well. But I'm talking about the pepperoni guy here.
Nick Burchill is the guy who
I can only assume either pepperoni salesman or heir. Nick Burchill. There's no other explanation.
One of the titular brothers,
owner of Brothers Pepperoni.
He's the first brother. Well, that'll do it for us, I think. We ran a little long this time, but we had to get through that story. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was a little laughter.
Yeah. I don't know. Plugs. Patreon is, again, we're really thankful for everybody. We are at patreon.com/whatatimepod if you want to hear more. We are working on the stuff.
T-shirts are in the works.
Got a quote about to get quotes, them into production.
Get them in production. And as well as the other stuff, we will be contacting you about all that soon. We have everything kind of lined up. We just got to get moving on it.
Yeah. And I think we're going to make, since we're ordering shirts anyways, and some people said that they were interested even if they weren't at that tier, I think we're going to probably have enough shirts to sell some through some, if you'd like to buy one, even if you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, still, we'd love to support the Patreon, but if you want to, or even just do a lower tier but still want a t-shirt, I think we're going to have some extras.
Let me know what the numbers are. We can sort of make that information available. Leave some thing on iTunes review if you like. We're on What a Time Pod on Twitter, Instagram, I think Facebook also. What a Time Podcast at Gmail. Take a look at the Discord. It's all in the description. I'm Patty Moe and all the stuff. I don't have anything to plug other than, I mean, you only have a comedy show every Friday called Bad Karma. It's at Karma Lounge in the East Village in New York. It's fun every Friday 8:30, and that's it for me.
Yeah, same thing, just Bad Karma. I don't got much else this week, I think.
I'm Kath Barbadoro and everything, and two things. I'm traveling a lot in the next few weeks. I'm going to New Orleans tomorrow for WrestleMania weekend, so if anybody's going to be at any of those things, I will be there with my wrestling podcast co-host Rachel Millman and our producer Nate. We'll have buttons for sale and stuff if you see us at anything, WrestleSplania, all that good stuff. It's gonna be a good time. And then in the following few weeks, April 17th to 29th, I'm going to be in Austin doing Master Pancake. So those are at the Alamo Draft House every Friday and Saturday. Please come out to that. I'm doing Breakfast at Tiffany's with them. It should be a good time. That's all my plugs.
Cool. We'll see you next week then, I guess.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.